Thank the Lord for these obedience, the byproduct of your obedience. I mean, you know, there's byproducts sometimes. When somebody obeys, something happens. Two things. The first was very sweet. The new oil that we have from En Gedi has a very peculiar, very odd smell. And I really believe that I thought somebody had a bottle of oil under my nose. And the fragrance was so intensely sweet. And obviously, how many know we kind of peak after a while? Because the smell was very, very sweet. And I opened my eyes, and in the natural, there was nobody there. But in the spirit, there was. That was very, very nice. About 7-10 minutes later, I found tremendous pain in my left shoulder. And let's say it this way, it's trying to hold on, but it will not succeed. Now, you say, well, why would you, after such an experience, feel pain? Your spiritual senses are very real. Your spiritual senses have an ability to irritate the natural. The natural does respond. The soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. The carnality, which is God's dealing with this area in my life. The carnality. The me's are definitely trying to operate. And I'm doing my utmost to let His Spirit have His way. And let have His plan unfold. And I would like sometimes to see things differently, and I would also love to see the challenges finally completed and the victories won, etc., etc. But He said very clearly, okay, that we are under a construction process and we're not maybe where we would like to be. But we are where we need to be. So I would rest with this truth. I've also learned that as I resist, by standing, sometimes you've done all you know how to do. And the scripture says, stand. Stand and hold on. So I'd like to take you to Acts chapter 4 with me. And to ask the Lord to bring some clarity so that His plan would definitely manifest. Last night, He brought me to Isaiah 51. And Isaiah 51 came a couple of times, actually. Isaiah 51 is an incredible scripture. And I would say that the part that really jumped out quite strongly was verse 22. So we'll start there. Isaiah 51, verse 22. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Your God who defends His people, see, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. You say, wait a minute, what are you doing? And from that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. You say, well, it's been tough. Watch verse 23. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors, who said to you, fall prostrate that we may walk over you. And you made your back like the ground, like a street to be walked over. Is that what happened to the lamb? Was he walked on? Did he lay down by choice? And some of you have been doing this, but I believe God's word is saying that these tormentors who have been designed by God to get you to where you are, He's going to deal with them. He, not you. He will deal with them. Notice again, He says, 23, I will put into the hands of your tormentors what? The cup of what? The cup of problems. The goblet of wrath. And you will never drink it again. Why? Because your test has been completed. You say, well, mine is ongoing. Well, there could be an end around the corner. This came twice last night. Then this morning he says, I want you to continue verse 1 of chapter 52. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garment of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughters of Zion. For this is what the Lord said. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. He was prophetically saying, all of what you were, there's redemption available. I want you to go now to Acts chapter 4. The Redeemer has a name. Verse 8 of chapter 4. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They took note. They took a mental reality check. These men have been with Jesus. It doesn't say they were in the Bible. It doesn't say they spent their time in the scrolls. They had spent time with Jesus. And it was visible. Some people are in love with a book. It would be better if they were in love with the man that wrote the book. Some people don't have enough love for the Word. There's an adjustment and a fine-tuning needed. Okay? Ask the Lord for His plan to unfold for your life. He knows where you're lacking. And say, God, create a hunger in me to spend quality time with the Word or quality time with the Lord or both. And so, not to be so challenged because you're missing or lacking or accusing. Let Him perform the miracle that's needed in you. Amen. All right? Let Him do it. Oh, I heard Sister So-and-so, she does this all the time. Well, good for Sister So-and-so. It may not be God's plan for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. What His plan is for you is personal. And when you begin to see yourself, you're ugly. Some of the stuff you do is not pretty. But when you see it, it's the beginning of wisdom. I should have heard an amen on that one. Say, I'm getting wiser by God's grace.
I'm getting wiser by God's grace.
I'm seeing my flaws.
I'm seeing my flaws.
And the one who can heal them,
is resident within.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's not on the outside. He's on the inside. He gets a better view of you than you do. He really does. And you know what? He's not going to show you anything you're not ready to see. But when you do see it, if you run to Him and say, look, Lord, I can't do this. You know, I've seen people who tell me, oh, well, use this word, or use that promise, or push yourself to the limit. I've seen what they do. They get so frustrated, they want you to become like them. And they're control freaks. They're religious control freaks. They're so holy in their own eyes, nobody can stand them. And you can't stand to be around them. All right? And I'm not trying to accuse anybody. They're blind. If you are blind, you can't see. It's not your fault. Your prayer is, God, open their eyes and let the light be. Let there be light in their hearts. Let there be light in their minds. Let there be light instead of criticizing them. How about praying for them? The very first words out of the Father. Genesis. Let there be
light.
When there's light, what happens to the darkness? How many have got a few irritations in their hearts? Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord right now? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You are the living word.
You are the living word.
I can't change my adversaries.
I can't change my adversaries.
But I can say,
I can say,
right now,
let there be light in their hearts.
Let there be visions.
Let there be visions.
That they can see.
That they can see.
Let them have ears to hear.
Let them have ears to hear.
And a heart to perceive.
And a heart to perceive.
With the light of Christ.
With the light of Christ.
With salvation.
With salvation.
In the name.
In the name.
That is above every name. The name of Jesus Christ.
The name of Jesus Christ.
Of Nazareth.
Of Nazareth.
This darkness has to go.
This darkness has to go.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I guess I was preaching a wee bit. Verse 13 is important. I want to go back. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Do you qualify to be unschooled and ordinary? Then if you do, by golly, they'll know that you spent time with Jesus when you do. When you do. You say, oh, and I go to church, I get so holy. Yeah. How about spending some quality time in the morning with Him? Or in the afternoon when you get home, or at night, instead of watching that remote being fought over. Uh-huh. It depends on where you're at. I'm not giving you a dictate. Look to the one who's got the answers. And you know what? He's private. Yeah. Instead of entertaining yourself. Anybody guilty?
Mm-hmm.
I want to escape. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. That doesn't happen to any of you guys, but it happened to me.
We're right behind you.
They were astonished that, and they took note, meaning they're aware that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. They just had a committee meeting, right? What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in that name. Why would Jesus be such an irritation? Why would they want to shut them up about speaking about Jesus?
They'd be out of a job.
Yeah, they'd be out of a job. You're right. Watch 18. Then they call them in again and commanded them. Now look it. The first part is a conference. The second part is a command. So you can see the unbeliever has no problems commanding and decreeing and putting the law down. What about you and me? Watch, it's beautiful. And commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Whew. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Whew. Talk about a slap right where it fits. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. And for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Why can't they stand Jesus? Because he was the anointed one. Why can't they stand Peter, James, and John? Because they have the same anointing. Why can't they stand you? Because you have the same anointing. So instead of fighting each other, try praying for each other. Yeah, it might work. 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand as should happen. So it was predetermined. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. 30 is very important. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. There's a time to shut up. There's a time to stand up. And there's a time to speak up. And I'll tell you, your opinion is just as important as anyone else's. You say, should I be nasty? No. But if everyone else has an opinion, and they have a right to it, do you have an opinion that's valuable?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So there are times that you can respect someone's opinion, but ask them, you know, you have an opinion about certain things. Do I have a right to have an opinion? And then wait for their response. And you'll be shocked. Because some people will look at you and just walk away. They will not respond. Because they do not respect anyone else's opinion but their own. And they don't want to hear it. Usually you're dealing with a religious spirit or a control force or both. Wait and present the case again. Do you respect that I have a right to have an opinion? Can you respect that my opinion has any value? These are very logical questions and they're very godly. These men were told not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth anymore. And they stood up to them and said, who is right? Can we stand up to you and listen to God? Is God's opinion better than man? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so they made a decision. We will listen to God first, you second. And that goes with those who have opinions about you. And I'm not saying you need to be arrogant. But I am saying your opinion has value. Close your eyes one more time. Say, Lord Jesus, my opinion. Especially where it concerns my stand with you.
It has value.
And I thank you
for
giving me the boldness to speak in love,
not in accusations,
to those that don't understand that I've spent some time with Jesus. And I'm a little different. Because of it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, that fits, correct?
Yeah. Amen.
That fits because that's what the word says. Mm-hmm. They had holy boldness because they had spent time with Jesus. They were able to use his name because they knew what he told them to do. And when they did it, the man that was over 40 was healed. I think most of you are over 40, so you're all set.
Yes,
share some blessings with each other.
Yes.